So let's start with the obvious. You see something a little different about me today. And yeah, I did get a new shirt for Christmas. This is nice, right? Excited about it. Oh, and I got a big bag. We will get to that in a moment. But I am excited to share some really good news with three groups of people. The first group is us. It's us, the SRC Westbury family, our faith community. And Jesus's words today are going to give us some ideas and ways that we can motivate and encourage one another to grow in our faith. The second group is each person here. Whether you are a student, you're single or married, you're looking for work, you're employed, regardless, we're going to talk about how you in your season of life can follow Jesus. Now, the third group is a little more generic. We're going to spend most of our time with this third group. The third group is all of humanity. So it's us plus everyone else in the world. And since this third group does include every human being, let's personalize it. So I will be the visual representation of this third group, all of humanity. So just call me Hank. I'll be Hank Human. All right? Nice to meet you. So each of these groups, us, each of you, and the Hank Humans of the world, each needs the same big idea that we're going to talk about today. This big idea will give you hope. This big idea will give you vision. This big idea will give you encouragement in the good times and the bad times. And when implemented correctly, this big idea will protect your back so you don't have to carry a big bag. All right, here it is. Jesus is everything you need. Now, I get it. You're at church. You expect me to say something like that, right? And you may even know that. But folks, I want you to go beyond knowledge. I want you to own that truth. I want you to breathe it. I want you to process everything in life through that statement that Jesus is everything that you need. So, what's the bag? Well, this bag carries my burdens. It's everything that I, Hank Human, have put my trust in throughout life to give me hope, to find what I'm looking for, to look for the fulfillment, the hope, the peace. It's everything I've tried. There's a Norwegian playwright named Henrik Ibsen. And Henrik says that each of us pursues happiness through a life lie. See, a life lie is the hope of being happy in the future if we have enough money. We get the right job, we go to the right school, if we get a healthy retirement, have good health, become famous, you know, if, whatever it is. And all of those are good things, but if you put your hope in them to bring you fulfillment, you'll end up disappointed because other than Jesus, nothing will truly satisfy you because Jesus is everything you need. And so all of those things are in the bag and they're heavy. Now, over time, I put my hope, my faith, my trust in each of those. And I have had moments of satisfaction. I have had moments of enjoyment, moments of peace, but they were all short-lived. And each one of them really presented themselves in amazing ways. They had grandiose claims of providing everything I was looking for. Hope, fulfillment, satisfaction, money. And every time I tried one of those surefire ways, it failed. And when something new came along, I tried not to get sucked in, but I always did. I pursued the job, I pursued the house, the spouse, and other things. But my soul craved more. I hungered for something that I could not find. And as my burdens grew and my bag got heavier, I was overwhelmed. I was tired. Folks, this actually started as a little backpack. It was really cute, quite fashionable, but it began to grow. So let me show you where this big idea comes from. Well, first of all, I want to hear from you. What is the big idea today? Okay, but you don't have to say it like a robot. Jesus is everything you need. When I first heard these words from Jesus that we're about to look at, folks, my heart skipped a beat. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Wow. That literally changed everything for me. Because I liked the word rest. I really resonated with that. That's what I was looking for. This is heavy, and it's awkward at a party or on the subway. I needed some rest. And then the words gentle and humble, I was attracted to those as well. I wanted to know Jesus in this way. But it's that word yoke that did not make sense. It seemed like work. How can work and rest go together? This is a yoke. It's the beam of a yoke. And when you add the horseshoe-shaped bows, it looks like this. And it would harness oxen or donkeys, beasts of burden. And when they were connected, they would be able to pull a wagon, a tractor, a plow. But folks, a yoke is an instrument of submission and control. I didn't want anything to do with a yoke. I wanted to be free. I wanted to be my own man. And so I continued to try new things. I continued to seek new ways to free myself from this burden, to give my soul satisfaction. But the bag just kept getting heavier and heavier. But I kept thinking about Jesus' words. I couldn't get them out of my head. Come, come to me, all you who are weary. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. But I didn't like that yoke. I wanted nothing to do with it. There's an author and a pastor in New York City named Tim Keller. He said something that almost made me fall to the ground. I was so shocked. And I'm glad I didn't, because when I'm wearing this bag, I need help to get back up. But he said, "Nobody is free. Everybody is yoked to something." I couldn't believe it. He said, if we are determined that a relationship is what's going to make things right in the world, it's going to fill our heart, it's going to satisfy our soul, if that's our belief, then we will do whatever it takes to sustain that relationship, to grow that relationship, to protect that relationship. And as a result, that becomes our yoke. It is what guides us. It is what directs and shapes us. That becomes our hope. If it's a job and a career that we're pursuing, we will work long hours. We will do whatever it takes, cut corners, hurt our own personal relationships with family and friends. We'll do whatever it takes with the belief that if we just achieve this goal, we will make it. That becomes our yoke. And then when we get what we want, we realize it's not it. It just doesn't fill me the way I was expecting it to. Some people try to outsmart the system. And they think, well, maybe it's if I got connected with serving or religion. And so we focus on good works. We focus on serving others, attending church. And we think that that's where we'll find that fulfillment. And that becomes a yoke. And then once the people that we serve turn against us, or once we become bitter or angry towards them, or we become disappointed or disillusioned by those we serve with or serve under, it's the same thing. Folks, I, Hank Heumann, have been there, done that. Did the relationships, a good job, religion, church, and a host of other things in this bag that are not the answer. And they're all good things. If you're married, stay married. Pursue a deeper and greater relationship. If you're employed, work hard. Do all you can to do well and to move up. If you have a dream, go after it. Pursue it. But just know that is not what's going to free you from your burden. That is not going to give you the satisfaction that your soul craves. Do you know why? What's the big idea? Yeah, and still, you can say it a little more confidently. That's why. Because Jesus is everything you need. I learned something that is a game changer for me. I learned something about teachers in the first century. It gave me a whole new view of a yoke. So when Jesus said, "Take my yoke," he wasn't the only one in that culture offering a yoke. The difference is, though, Jesus' yoke liberated, while the yoke of others suffocated. So in the first century, a rabbi was a teacher. And as a teacher, he would help his followers understand and ultimately obey the Torah, the law. That's the first five books of our Bible. There are 613 commands in those first five books. It's a little overwhelming. And so a rabbi, a teacher, would help people not just learn what they were, but how to apply them. For example, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, it says, "Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy." So that's actually easy to understand. But the application of that gets a little tricky. What does that mean? Like, what can I do on the Sabbath? What should I not do on the Sabbath? And so the rules, the list of things that you can and can't do, this is what the rabbis would teach. And these rules or these lists were known as a rabbi's yoke. And rabbis would have different interpretations of the verses. And so, whose yoke were you wearing? Whose yoke were you putting your trust in? And Jesus illustrates this in Matthew 23. He says this. Jesus said to the crowds and his disciples, "The teachers of the law," Chris, you want to throw that up on the screen? "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." Now, this is just Moses' seat. It's a picture of authority, of power. And Jesus is saying, these are the people that think they're the only ones who can correctly decipher Moses' teaching. He said, verse 3, "So you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads, and they put them on other people's shoulders. But they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Jesus is saying, their yoke is going to kill you. Their yoke is impossible in terms of fulfilling everything in the way that God intended. And this is one of the many reasons that the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, did not like Jesus. Lou, can you come on up here? And folks, this is why it's so important to know that Jesus is everything that you need. Because when we go to Jesus, when we take up his yoke, when we surrender our lives to him, when we put our faith in Jesus for salvation, I'm trying to say the same thing in many different ways. When we say, here I am, that's when we surrender our lives to him. And we are free. Whew, thanks. How does it feel to act like Jesus?
Tough as nutty.
Thanks, bro. You can have a seat. I promise you, that feels really good right now. This freedom is salvation. But it's not just knowledge. It's not just knowing what to do or what to say. It's not just knowing that Jesus is everything we need. It's experiencing that truth every day. You know, when you don't get the job you want, even though you prayed for it, you'll be disappointed. You should be, right? I mean, it was something that you went after. You wanted that job. But when Jesus is everything you need, even in that situation, deep down in your soul, there will be peace. Because you know you have a heavenly Father who is over all and is guiding and directing you. And you know your identity is not found in that job. And hey, maybe you wanted that job to impress others, which, you know what? That's very human. I get it. I understand. But it's a life lie. That is not what's going to bring you fulfillment. So not getting that job might be the reminder that you need that Jesus is everything you need. So that's the first group, right? Hank, human, and all the rest. The second group is each person here. Yeah, that's you. And I said you're going to love hearing what Jesus has to share. I just want you to reflect. I'm going to ask you some questions. I just want you to reflect on these. You don't have to respond outwardly or verbally. If you can't contain yourself, go for it. But just in your mind, answer these questions. Are you free? Are you carrying a burden or pursuing a life lie that will not satisfy you, that will not fulfill? I'm not asking if you're having relationship problems or if you're struggling in your job or if you can't meet your rent payment or mortgage payment this month. I'm not asking that. I'm asking, is there something or someone other than Jesus that you are putting your hope and trust in to be the answer? When Jesus says, Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He is talking to you. And what I actually like you to do, you know, all you who are weary and burdened, right? That's the audience, and I'm sure most of us will say, yep, that's me, I'm in there. But you know what? You can just take that out and put your name. Come to me. What's my name? Hank? I can't remember. Henry? Hank? Hank, come to me, Hank. I'm going to be Greg from now on. How about that? Come to me, Greg, and I will give you rest. He's talking to you. Come to me, Evan. Come to me, Victor. Come to me, Danielle. Put your name in there. Jesus is speaking to you. And you got to drop that bag. Ask Jesus, would you please? I'm tired of playing this game. Would you remove this from me? I am putting my hope and trust in you. When Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He is talking to you. He's saying, take my yoke upon you, Steve, Sunil, James, Lupe, take my yoke upon you and learn from you. See, Jesus has a yoke, but his is not the yoke of keeping the law. His is the yoke of being his disciple. A disciple is a learner. It's a follower. And this is amazing. His yoke is not one that he places on us. His yoke is one in which he invites us into his. Essentially, Jesus invites us to be a yoke mate, to walk with him. Because when he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, he is talking to each of us in this room. To say my yoke is easy doesn't mean like, oh, I don't even have to think about it. It's so easy. Do it with my eyes closed. No. It means it's easy to wear. It's kind. In other words, it won't chafe my neck. It won't overwhelm me because it's Jesus' yoke. And so it's easy to wear. It's kind. When he says, my burden is light, it means you can carry the load because I will be doing the bulk of it. I am going to make this light for you. Just walk with me. And when he says it's easy and light, Jesus isn't offering a recliner and a remote control. All right, let's just be clear about that. The yoke is still an oxen's tool for working hard, but it's a special kind of yoke with weight that falls on bigger shoulders to make the load lighter. Someone with more power is doing the pulling. But this is where we have to count the cost and really understand what it means to follow Jesus. He says in Luke chapter 9, it says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will save it. Now, sometimes we think it's easier to just obey those 613 commands. I'll just get them all right. Sometimes we think it's easier to do that than it is to deny ourselves, to love people who are sometimes unlovable. I like this quote by Michael Green. He addresses this. He says, Jesus's yoke is gentle, but not in the sense that it's less demanding than Judaism. In some ways, it's more demanding, but it is the yoke of love, not of duty. It is the response of the liberated, not the duty of the obligated. You see the difference there? Right? It's the yoke of love. We become eager to love or to serve or to give, to be available, because we're responding to how God has changed us, forgiven us, molded and shaped us. Like, of course I'll do this. Of course I'll serve. So Jesus is inviting us to stay connected to him. In other places, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Right? It's the same type of picture. He's saying, stay connected to me. Stay yoked to me. Let me lead you. Now, I got to issue a warning right here, because that is amazing news, and it's for all of us. But the warning is that Christians, and the church are prone to dump burdens on you. Be careful. You ever feel guilty at church? Or maybe you don't go to church one Sunday because you feel guilty? Or another Christian ever give you like the evil eye or kind of talk about you as you walk by? Well, then you know what I mean. What they're doing is they're putting their burden on you, their understanding of how you ought to live your life. That's not for them. That's not for us. So if we have a habit of doing that, let's just confess that and say, Jesus, you know, it's all up to you. Don't get sucked in. Don't give in. Because if you don't, you'll end up picking up this bag. Even though you are saved and Jesus has removed it from you, you will cling to this because it's familiar. It's comfortable. It's what we know. But it's also killing us. What are you doing that promises fulfillment but delivers heartache? Don't let another Christian, don't let your pastor, don't let your favorite Bible author or teacher take the place of Jesus. Jesus is everything you need. All right, let's talk about the third group. The third group is us, here in this room and others that call the Westbury campus their home. All right, so I'm no longer Hank Heumann. I'm Greg. I am your pastor, and I love you, and I want us to be a healthy, vibrant, flourishing community of faith, hope, and love that points one another to Jesus. Those that don't know Jesus, that we would be voices of hope, telling people about Jesus, showing them what that looks like, and then engaging in each other's lives in a way that is good and right and healthy. Sometimes it's hard, because if I'm doing something or saying something that I shouldn't, you should pull me aside and talk to me about it. Now, that's not putting your yoke on me. That's responding biblically, going directly to the person. If instead you went and talked to someone else about, you know, what a lame pastor I am, then that is putting your yoke on me. So how are we as a community going to do this? There's a couple of ways. One is just these Sundays. This one and the next six, we are going to continue this series on habits for the healthy heart. So today, we were talking about the easy yoke. And it's one of, ultimately, surrender. It's a life of surrender, saying, I'm going to stop pursuing all of my ways to get things done, and I'm going to put my hope and faith and trust in Jesus alone. Next week, Pastor Corey's speaking. Don't miss it. It will be an amazing message. He's going to talk about meditation. And how meditation is actually, like, one of the byproducts is trust, growing in your trust. The week after that, we're going to talk about Sabbath. I referenced that earlier. Like, what that means, that's also a way to trust God, and it's also a way to find rest. Then we're going to talk about secrecy. That's interesting, but what we mean by that is, what's going on in your heart about why we do or say the things we do? Is it coming from a place of pride? Is it coming from a place of love? We're going to talk about the topic of simplicity, and how we can worry less because we are going to find contentment in Jesus, because he's everything we need. Then the last 2 weeks, we'll talk about servanthood. We'll talk about a friendship. It's going to be a great series. But these messages, they're just the appetizer. The main course is what we do with it. Christina mentioned earlier that we are getting ready to launch a bunch of new small groups. Go to the website to get more information on them. Next week, we'll have printed brochures available. There will be groups for men, for women, for students, co-ed groups, basically, like Corey said, if you have a pulse, there is a group for you. And we're going to focus on three things in those groups. We're going to read the Bible. We're going to want to know, what does God say? What is His word for us? We're going to build relationships with one another. And we're going to follow up with one another. We're usually pretty good on the read the Bible. Building relationships, sometimes we can be a little weak. The follow-up, that rarely gets done. And the follow-up is just a means of saying, hey, Corey, you know, you asked for prayer for such and such. During the week, I'm going to follow up. How is it going? What happened? What's going on in your heart? You know, what's, you know, it's just building relationships. Now, there is a group, there's going to be a lot of options. There's one group that is not going to be listed in the brochure because I just thought of it this week while preparing for the message. So here's my contact information if you want to be a part of this group. Here's what it's going to be. Each week, it's going to last about 8 weeks. Each week, we will take the topic from each of the Sundays and dig deeper on it. Like, what does the Bible say? So like on today, like, what does it mean really to surrender? Where else in Scripture do we learn about that? We're going to read the Bible together, and then we're going to build relationships, and we're going to follow up. It's going to be on Zoom, and we're going to shoot for an hour-ish. All right? So the ish, you know, is loosely defined, but like an hour, hour 15. Once a week on Zoom. If you're interested, let me know. Now listen, just first, take a look. You know, you feel free to say, I'm interested. But then next week, you're like, oh, but I actually want to do this group. Cool. I just want you in a group. And don't feel like you have to sign up for 3, 4, 5 groups. Don't do that. Just really dig in on one and invest in the people around you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for being a God who knows us and still loves us, who offers hope, even though we try to find it in other places. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, whether for the first time we're saying, I'm coming to you, I'm surrendering my life to you, or as your son or daughter, we're saying, God, I still struggle with this. You know, would you help me with this? God, I pray that we would have the courage to get involved in a group, to learn to invest in one another. And we're asking for your help in Jesus' name. Amen.